A $380 million package doled out by Congress earlier this year is intended to go toward election security. Arizona received about $7.5 million of that allotment, and considering the state is one that was targeted by election hackers in 2016, the funds are seriously needed. In addition, a report issued by House Democrats called Arizona one of the 18 most vulnerable states when it comes to election security. So how serious is the problem, and how much is software and hardware related, and how much is about changing hearts and minds? In a few moments, we'll hear from Maricopa County Recorder Adrian Fontes about what his office is doing. But first, my conversation with Jamie Winterton. She is Director of Strategic Research Initiatives for ASU's Global Security Initiative. We met in her Tempe office and started by discussing how great a priority election security should be.
It should be at the top of our mind. There are very few things that are more important than this. And it's interesting that you mention the cultural vulnerabilities and the software vulnerabilities, because it really is a very complex system that involves both of these things. There's been almost too much of a focus on just let's make sure that the software that counts the votes is secure, and if that's secure, everything's fine. But that's really just one piece in the much more complex chain of voting. That chain includes our voter registration databases. You know, a year or two ago, Arizona had a problem with that, as did many other states. Those databases govern who is and who isn't allowed to vote, who gets sent, Spanish and English language materials. So these are very important things in getting people to the polls to vote. And then there are the cultural aspects of it as well. And one of the things that really concerns me that we aren't talking about enough is our faith in democracy. So when people go to the polls, part of the reason they go is that they believe their vote is going to matter, it's going to be counted accurately, and that there's not going to be any kind of interference. If that gets undermined for some reason, whether it's hacking or it's political interference, people stop believing in the system, and then they won't participate in it. And then at some point, democracy just won't function.
So here's my inelegant analogy. We talk about how when someone has a physical issue versus having an emotional or mental issue, that physical, it's in some ways easier to pinpoint, easier to fix. If you have a broken arm, you do that. So how much easier, relatively, is it to fix a software problem as opposed to a greater cultural problem? If there are more people feeling like their vote doesn't count or someone's messing with them, that is a switch that may be harder to flip back, right?
Absolutely true. Software vulnerabilities, while maybe not easy to pinpoint, we can run tests. We can figure out where some of those things are. We know what to look for. We know the signs. What precedes that, however, is the political will to fund that exploration. And a lot of money has been allocated to states to shore up their election security. But I wonder if it's enough, and I wonder about the timeliness of it. Only now are we starting to talk about how are we going to use that money. It's something I would have liked to have seen happen before now. It's something that we'll have to continue to talk about. I think it was $380 million or some large amount of money that was allocated towards this. But when you break that up over 50 states and you think about the fact that most of our voting hardware goes back to the early 2000s, it's a much bigger job.
How much information should the general public have? Is there more of a chance of people being worried as opposed to having more information leading to something positive? I guess because these are complex topics to think about, how much should we, the general public, know about this and what's being done to try to counter things?
So we want the public to know what positive steps are being taken and see how that applies to them. We obviously don't want to be very explicit about these are the kind of vulnerabilities that haven't been patched or that haven't been fixed yet, because that just opens the doors to further attacks. But we have to start being more open with our voting population about how seriously their vote is being taken, the steps that are being taken to secure their vote and their ability to vote. One of the programs that I've really liked in the past has been the Hack the Pentagon or Hack the Air Force programs, where they've said, all right, here is, you know, obviously not all of our computer systems, but here's some of our systems. Let's invite hackers in and pay them for the things that they find. You just get more eyes on the problem, fresh eyes on the problem. And I think something like that would be an awesome idea to do with election security.
Is there a danger, not by folks who are really involved in the trenches, but generally, of saying, well, okay, 2018, congressional election, obviously very important, but it's not presidential, so maybe any chance, any risk of people letting their guard down?
Probably, but this is where we should really keep our guard up. All the elections are important. But we know that many more people turned out for a presidential election. So this could actually be an opportunity for us, right? Where we'll have less turnout at the polls, so things will be less busy. Those software and hardware systems won't be taxed in the way that they will be in 2020. So let's use that to our advantage. Let's make sure that things are secure and test them out, and then we scale them up for the big presidential election.
That's Jamie Winterton, Director of Strategic Initiatives for ASU's Global Security Initiative. I also recently talked with Maricopa County Recorder Adrian Fontes about what his office is doing at the ground level to make elections more secure just a few weeks before primary election day.
We're really focusing in on not just the front-end security, what people see, but a lot of the back-end issues as well. And we've kind of split that up into a couple of major areas. First of all, it's data security, and that is really sort of the cybersecurity side of it. And the other side is sort of our general equipment and people security, because a lot of folks don't realize, right, that a lot of the attacks that we get are phishing attacks, just plain old email attacks to our staff. And so this is really an all hands on deck effort, and we're really focused in on sort of the broad scope of the concerns that people have.
From a general standpoint, how under threat is a county this large? Because there could be some influence. Even in 2016, people were saying, well, it didn't ultimately affect the outcome of anything, but there could be back channels. You mentioned phishing. There could be other ways that might affect things in more subtle ways.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest misperceptions out there about the hacking of elections, as people have spoken of it for 2016, is it wasn't really the election systems themselves that were hacked. It was the electors. It was the folks out there with the information that they were receiving. I mean, you know, that anybody can really tell, no actual results were changed. But what we do know is that the amount of misleading or inaccurate or false information that was spread across the information landscape, right, through social media and through news, that's how our elections got hacked by our enemies. And I think this same thing is already happening in this cycle. The partnership that we have, for example, with voters in our voter registration, right, we ask folks to make sure that they keep that up in partnership with us so that we can ensure that their rights are upheld. It's the same thing with the information side of it, right? We're asking folks, pay close attention to what it is that you're consuming, how you're consuming it. What does it make you feel, right? If you see something that makes you hate somebody else, you're probably getting messed with, because all Americans are really looking for the same basic stuff. The difference in politics is how we approach it.
Did you get a lot of questions over the last even few months as people were, maybe they were re-registering, maybe they're getting ready for the primaries, and they were thinking, did you get questions like, well, my vote's going to count, right? It's not going to be taken over by some outside force.
Yeah, we've had a lot of conversations with a lot of people. And as you know, we've made extra efforts in our social media to be out there and accessible to people. And that's a conversation, I think, that we owe to the general public, to the voting public particularly. What it comes down to for me is we have to have the conversation. We have to have sort of these mature, sit down, talk about it conversations. We have to look at data. We've got to analyze the data to figure out what are the best ways to administer these elections for folks so that we can rebuild the confidence in our electoral systems that has been eroded. And let's not forget, the lack of confidence that some people have in our election system was implanted into our society, right? There's always been a little bit of doubt here and there about this and that. We've never had pure elections. But at the same time, we've never been in a place in our society, as I understand it, where so many people have so many doubts about something that on its face and in its fundamentals really hasn't changed that much at all.
Do you think this is a legitimate fear? And I don't mean that means you're going to let up. I don't mean that at all. But is it something that is almost more to make people feel as secure as they can, not because you really necessarily need to take these extra steps based on what we've seen as far as results and the impact on results?
The data security side is a legitimate concern. We've spent a lot of time and a lot of resources over the last 18 months completely revamping the way that our security systems look. You haven't seen or heard a lot about it because, well, honestly, that's kind of none of your business. And I say that with a little bit of jest, because it is the people's business, right? And we want to make sure, however, that we're doing everything that we can to address the real concerns that exist. We are gathering intelligence from more than 200 billion cyber events every single day. That helps us make sure that this pretty decent-sized system is very well monitored.
Maricopa County Recorder Adrian Fontes, thank you as always.
Thank you very much for having me.